managing the minutes. Farheen has started the recording unless anyone objects. We've been recording each of the meetings and posting them as part of the minutes that we include so people can go back and review. All right, we'll start with roll call. Jack Murray, I'm here. Jin Ri.
Hi, good morning, Jack. Jin is here.
Okay, thank you.
David?
Hi, I'm here.
Thank you. Masafumi-san?
Yes, hi, Jack, I'm here.
Thank you. William?
Hi, I'm here.
Okay. And Vishwa? Okay, he does not look like Vishwa is on yet. Sometimes he joins a little late. Okay, we have enough for a quorum. Let's move on to approve the minutes from last week. So if we go to 10:02, we have minutes. I was not present, so Jin Ri ran the meeting. So is there any questions, corrections, or comments on the minutes from last week's meeting? Okay, so then I'll call for approval of the minutes. All those, will someone make a motion to approve the minutes from the 10:02 2019 meeting?
Yeah, I can make a motion.
Thank you, Jin Ri. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. All those in favor say aye. Jack Murray saying aye.
Jin Ri saying aye.
David saying aye.
Masafumi saying hi.
William say aye.
Thank you. All those against say nay. Okay, the minutes are now approved. Thank you. Okay, review of today's agenda items. Does anyone have anything that they want to add to the agenda for today?
This is Tora from Rig Platform, near Real Time Rig Platform. I just would like to mention that probably there, when we come to it, we will need something like 10 minutes for some topics that I already noted down.
Okay. All right. Then let's go ahead and get started. Let's go through the open items. Tracy isn't going to be able to make it today. She sent me an email, but to provide a write-up next week as a basis for the Plugfest blog. Right? She said she has done that. There is a link. Okay, so under events, can people see the what's on my screen for upcoming POC December 2nd, 2019 call for participation in the Plugfest?
Yes, Jack, I can see it.
Okay. So I think that's she's completed that task, so that's we can check that off. All right, Tracy and Martin to align and document the Plugfest plan for a demo video. I think, Martin, are you on?
Yeah, I'm here. So the document is basically also related to what Tracy did before, and of course we will have a video demonstration, and this, I don't know if you want to keep this open until the demo happens, but there will be for sure a demo recording. We did it a lot of times already, so.
Okay. I think she mentioned something that the demo will be also viewable at the face-to-face next week?
Yes, there will be a demo next week, how the OAM stuff and ONAP and everything which is related to this and all the contributions here also from the simulator, that will be demonstrated as a quite early version, let's say, not tested yet, but that's a contribution for the Ember release, yes.
Okay. Good job. All right, so just because there's one demo here for the PlugFest doesn't mean that we can't do other demos as well. So if there are other people planning to do demos at the PlugFest.
No, everybody is invited. So whatever we can show here from the Oral RAN Alliance software community, we should make this happen and demonstrate this. Yes, of course.
All right. Certainly, let's see, the RIC and the X apps and other simulator capability, any of those, the portal, these are things that I've seen at some stage that they may be able to consider that. Okay, so we'll keep this on the agenda for right now so that we can continue to track it a little bit. All right,
okay.
On to item three, to add events for the PlugFest. We just saw it up there on the page. Jinri, is there more that you want to add to that? Jinri, are you available?
Hello. Sorry. What is the question?
So
there's something wrong with the computer.
Okay.
So
sorry.
What's the question?
On the PlugFest, you know, for the upcoming events, we have some information here.
Yes. Yeah.
But I think it needs to. You have additional information you want to expand on it from. You know, from some of the things that you're working and you're aware of.
So probably I need some time to come back on this because I know my colleagues are preparing for the PlugFest Beijing session. So if that information is what you need, then I think I can come back later.
Yeah, just update the events page with anything that you think is relevant to this community that's going to happen at the, it's also a form of kind of documenting it as we go. So this way we have a record of what we do there. Thanks, Jinri. We'll move on to the next one. Jinri, talks to CLCC how to promote the PlugFest.
Yes, I did talk with my colleagues some time ago during my vacation. You see, for the PlugFest, there will be two sessions. So one will be in Beijing, hosted by China Mobile. And we expect the test activity there. And so as far as I know, for the POC that we have here is like Tracy and probably Martin mentioned just now, we had this O1 ONM related POC. So, and it will be like in the format of the video, right? That's what I understood. So if it's the case, then I think I can bring that video to the Beijing session and then to kind of promote this.
Yeah, that would be very nice because I think we are 1 week before your PlugFest. So that we provide you the demo, this demo video. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
Okay, the Beijing session is like on the week of December 15 or 12. I didn't remember exactly. Okay.
Yeah, that's what check. I meant. So we will have our readout at December 5th.
Yeah, so I remember that. Yes, yeah. Yes.
So, and okay. Then we can provide the video for you.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Perfect. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Great. So we'll consider that closed. Let's move on to the next item. David, you were going to put together a poll for the B release?
Naming? The poll is on the wiki already. I will send the mail later today, probably after the call.
Good.
Great. So, you know, we'll this way we'll have the name. You know, there's a lot of focus next week at the face-to-face discussion with the working groups, trying to align the B release. Obviously, the B release will be a key release for us as we're starting to get some specifications, you know, from the ORAN Alliance released. It'll help us. So I'll leave that open till we complete the poll. All right. Next item.
Sorry, John Keane here, non-real time rec. Can I also suggest maybe at this stage we even start the poll for C as well?
Okay. David, any concern with that?
No problem. I will do that also.
Good. All right. Thank you. All right, Madi. Are you on?
Yes, I'm here. This is, I guess it was just assigned to me this morning. So, I don't have anything to report on this.
Okay. But at least you're aware of it now and you'll figure it out. Okay.
Yes.
All right, let's move on. Ritwick, place a formal approval request for code freeze extension.
Yeah. I did that through the mailing list. I think the request is to extend the code freeze up to October 18th or October 25th. I think it's up to you guys to discuss the pluses and the minuses and recommend a particular code freeze date. The only reason why I said 18th is because it gives us 2 weeks to kind of do integration testing and have it in time for release.
Okay, let's cover that as part of the release planning segment down below. So I'll just push that to that window of time, and let's get through the other open items. All right. So then we'll move on to the next items. Publish the meeting details on the REC page regarding Working Group 3 and E2. Ritwick.
Yeah, all the meeting minutes are published in the RSAC meeting notes. We've had two meetings to date to get alignment with all the different working groups and the project. So, and also next week, face-to-face. There are a couple of projects that still have not been read out, ODU projects and I think infra projects, which will happen tomorrow. All updates, but nevertheless, all the PowerPoints and the status updates are all updated in the meeting minutes.
All right, I know that's a lot of work, and next week will be a busy week for everyone involved, but I think that's key in getting well positioned for the B release. Everybody should, you know, try to get their input into the process, and you know, after. Next week, we'll review and finalize, you know, how we want to approach the B release. But I think next week will be key to setting up the key goals. Okay, so we'll consider that done. Next one was Lejing wanted to discuss which use cases would be covered by the test integration team for the B release.
So, yeah, this is still open. Sorry, this is still open.
Okay. So, you know, this is why we've been talking about the integration and test team and trying to get people both from the other projects as well as other companies more involved, because this is something that can require quite a bit of activity. And they can only test so many items. I don't think any open source project does 100% testing of all code that is contributed. There's different kinds of testing. There is code testing that we do with code coverage, which we should be working as we develop to, you know, provide code coverage. But then there is also the kind of end-to-end use cases that drive how the overall OSC solutions that we promote work. And so the integration and test team will principally be driven by the end-to-end use cases that we pick as a community to focus on for this particular release. So the goal, and I think this is important for the discussion next week and with the RSAC group, is to have a clear, manageable set of end-to-end use cases that clearly both demonstrate the value and capability of where we are in the ORAN open source software stack to the community and beyond. So you can only have so many end-to-end use cases that they can afford to, in the window of time, focus on. But that's a key ask that, you know, the TOC has to focus on and ask the, you know, the software architecture and release planning team to focus on, so we know what we're all trying to build, test, and, you know, demonstrate as a primary goal. That doesn't mean that there's not a lot of other work that has to be done to make the platform usable and progress it. But we need to, when we talk about, and we can, if the community wants to use a different terminology, but at least when I say end-to-end use cases, I'm talking about those will be the primary driver of what demonstrating what the overall release can be used for. Does anyone have any comments or concerns about that? Okay, it's an important.
Jack, I had a comment. I mean, you know, you're requesting an end-to-end use case, but the truth is that if you want a full stack end-to-end demo, it will require the DUs and the CUs and the whole stack to participate. And I don't know if you'll have a full stack operational in release B.
So no,
for the
we
very
won't.
Fact that, right, yeah. So how do you then, you know, have an end-to-end use case?
Well, so the goal is to try to build towards that, right? But I think the spirit of it at this release is that you're trying to demonstrate, you know, functionality towards that goal. We will always probably need a certain amount of simulators or other activity as part of the demonstrations, but, you know, it should demonstrate some broader capability that shows that the community is advancing towards its mission and its purpose. not just, I'll just pick a very simple thing, just not show that you're generating, that you can send a message and get a message, send a message and get a message. Though that's important functionality in terms of an API or an interface working, it doesn't show to the, you know, broader community that what you can do is that we have an early element of a non-real-time Rick sending a message to a CU or a near real-time Rick. It's doing some work. It's sending a series of responses that it has failed, it's passed. So all I'm saying is that the spirit of end-to-end testing is that you're talking about broader functionality that's trying to be accomplished and not just the individual software advancement of individual projects. Those are use cases, but we have to have a broader goal for the B release. What will we be able to demonstrate? Much like what Martin is starting to show in the OAM piece, that's broader functionality. So you could write an end case, an end-to-end use case around that. It will be several releases, hopefully, you know, sooner than later, that we get any kind of really anything close to an end-to-end use case running, and it will be challenging because of the equipment requirements, but that's kind of the mentality in the end-to-end. Do people agree or disagree with my view? Okay, I guess I take silence as agreement. So Lu Jing, it's important for Lu Jing to work and the integration and test team to work with the requirements and the end-to-end team to make sure that we also can develop a plan to test and evaluate the end-to-end use cases. So those two committees it's very important that they come to agreements early on before we lock down on what the B release will deliver. All right. We've talked about that. John Kearney, to discuss renaming of near real-time RIC, not the non-real-time RIC, the near real-time RIC.
No, actually, that appears to be a typo. I think that should be non-real-time RIC. Apologies, I should have noticed that on the meetings read, or the minutes readout from last week. So.
Okay.
Apologies.
Corina, have you?
I'll cross it out and make the correction.
Okay.
I don't know if you want to discuss this now, but I do think that the OSC should at least have a position on this, because I do understand this is due to be discussed at the Costa Rica meetings next week. For those of you who don't have any background to this, there was a suggestion from Working Group 1 to the ORAN Alliance Working Group 1 of a plan to rename the non-real-time RIC function to something else. There are a couple of different alternatives suggested. Okay, so there's in terms of why this need to rename the function arose was particularly to deal with the confusion between the non-real-time RIC and the near-real-time RIC functions. Some people complained about the pain of having to type 3 to 4 extra letters when referring to the name of a function. And also there was views about which is the real RIC. As if such a thing makes sense to discuss. Okay, so I don't want to sideline this discussion, but just basically to flag that I think at least that the OSC should have a position on this. I personally have quite a strong position on it. And do we want to discuss this now, later, or not at all?
Well.
Joe, I would suggest to, I mean, kind of keep this open and delay this a little bit, because I mean, like back to TSC, ORAN TSC like last week or 2 weeks ago, and I mean, I know there is the like renaming thing ongoing under working group one ONM task group. But actually, that was not brought to TSC, and there is some different opinions. And I actually haven't heard any progress from working group one ONM. So then I would suggest that that's kind of keep this open and delay it later.
All right.
Okay, that's probably a fine position to take, and I probably agree with that position. Just assuming that it doesn't get pushed through without OSC either having a position or presenting a position in these discussions. That's all.
John, yeah, this is Martin. Do you have a proposal then? Because it has also impact on the ORAN interface specification and ORAN architecture specification, because the term is also mentioned there. And either we need a mapping then to ORAN Alliance or need to update the specifications as well.
My proposal is to not change it.
Okay.
I agree. I actually agree. Yeah.
Okay. Now you run into open doors. Okay. Good.
Yeah. So the key here is, you know, it's if they're going to change it, it's better to change it now than later. The more that it gets expanded into the documentation and software, it becomes harder and harder and more of an impact for this community to make the change. Moving directories is not necessarily a problem. You know, so if you want to organize things differently, but changing the names have quite a ripple effect as we move forward and build a body of work that we're dependent upon. So, you know, I think if I don't have an opinion right now, I think there's pluses and minuses to both. But the only thing is, what would be worse to me is for them to come back a year from now and decide to change, right? So whatever they're going to do, they need to decide now and then stick with it. So we'll leave that open and see what comes up next week. Then John, you have discussed relationship with the upstream projects like Acumos and Acrano.
Yeah, actually, I had the original plan thing was to ask for feedback, I suppose, more on has there been any progress made, or do we need to further discuss relationships with upstream projects? I know this was mentioned on the in the talk a couple of months ago, I think, at this stage, and the decision at the time was to continue and discuss more and to see on a case-by-case basis. I'm just wondering if there was any update on this. I don't know if specifically Acumos or Acrano that I wanted to mention. ONAP or other projects, for example, Acumos or Acrano, I think is probably right. More accurate. I again don't want to hog this as a discussion item, but just wanted to wonder if other people had other suggestions or any feedback that they wanted to provide.
Okay, so a couple of things. Yes, there's been lots of discussions in the background going on with various pieces of the project have relationships with other, you know, with certain parts of this. And it's not just Acumos and Acrano. They happen to be the A1s. But if you look, there's a new tab now up above on partnerships, and this was put under new. We were going to discuss it a little further down, but you'll see we're starting to document what, you know, what communities and what open source communities we interact with. Right now, the descriptions are relatively just simpler overview, but as we continue this discussion, we will expand on it. I know on the AT&T side, we've been looking at how we will do these activities. Particularly, we have a lot going on in the Crano in the Acumo space as well. So we will have, you know, we have some slides which we will share, and we'll put that on a on the agenda to share the slides, and we'll have a little more discussion in, you know, the coming weeks. We'll pick one of the projects and talk through it. You know, of course, depending on what it is, it may affect some projects more than other projects, right? Not all projects are affected equally, but I but we'll assign some time to it. But at least we're starting to document which ones we are interacting with, and we have to develop our specific breakdown of what our interaction is with those. But at least we've I wanted to bring this up and at least create a place to start documenting it. Does that help start the process, John?
That's brilliant, and delighted to see that. Thank you very much. I know this has been, I've been droning on about this for a little while, so I'm delighted to see this happening. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Hi, Jack. This is this is Efan from Eureka. I have a quick question on this. Do you have some kind of collaboration agreements with these organizations? Is there a sort of standard...
So open source projects don't need collaboration agreements. I think the so basically the collaboration agreement is the fact that you you know, leverage their software and use it. There can be joint use cases and activities, but there doesn't need to be formal. Now with 3GPP, Etsy, you know, obviously ORAN Alliance, we have a formal agreement with, right? So that's where we start. There we do have a formal agreement, obviously. I know it may sound weird to some people, but the ORAN Alliance is a separate entity from the ORAN software community. So we have a charter. We have agreements in place, and we're continuing to refine them. And the next kind of threshold is making sure that the copyright agreements are properly in place. For 3GPP, this is a reference organization that we're working with, and we're working to try to get copyright permission, because some of what they specify needs to be implemented. You know, and then Etsy is the entity we interface to for that copyright work with 3GPP. And then I said, then we're into open source. We use Kubernetes. If we, you know, if parts use OpenStack, then that's what we would reference. If parts use OPNFE, and then QEMU, is an emulator. The question is, at what level do we go, right? I don't think we're going to get to listing Jenkins and listing, you know, every piece of open source software we use. We do have to create I find it useful to create that reference, but not at this level. Does that help to answer your question?
Yes, yes. Thank you, Jack. Yeah, very interesting. Yeah, definitely. Thank you.
Okay. So
let's go. Jack, I have a very quick note on this, Parash. I know we are kind of over time, but it will be a very quick note. So, the page here, I'm not sure, but I think it's probably not very appropriate to say that this is a partnership with ORAN Alliance, because you see, our SCP project is totally owned by ORAN Alliance, and this community is sponsored by ORAN Alliance. So I'm just not sure. I mean, like, probably the word here, partnership with this ORAN Alliance, is not very appropriate, but I don't have like more accurate words. So probably we could turn to Stephen, the attorney, I mean, for this. I mean, for a better and accurate relationship description. Yeah, well, just a very quick note.
Well, it's hard to describe it in other terms because they have separate charters and it's a very complex relationship, right?
Yeah, I know. That's why I don't want to, spend much time on this. But I just want to raise this.
Yeah. I know. We could refine it over time if we want, but right now. We'll at least, and if you see the first line says ORAN Alliance is the primary funder and partner of the ORAN open software community, right? And that the ORAN software community's primary goal is to create a working software solution that is aligned to the ORAN Alliance specification. So try to be very clear upfront about that relationship. But it's not owned by, it's not part of their separate entities. So, it depends on what term you want to use, but partnership just seemed to be the most.
Probably I'm wrong, but.
Flexible.
Yeah, it's point. Okay. Yeah.
And that's why it's first on the list. All right, let's go back to the talk.
Check. This is Peter from Samsung Electronics. I'm not sure this is the right question to ask at this moment, but in terms of the partnership here in the wiki page, there are several open source developers. How they could refer to the reference from ORAN software community, for example, in terms with the other collaborative open source project like Acrino or Etchstack or some other open source project. For example, I am a developer and I would like to test the current ORAN software community software stack or whatever, but there are other pieces from the Acrino, then there is no single reference between the Acrino Etchstack, for example, Radio Edge Cloud or something like that, and ORAN software community near real-time leak project or something, then could you provide a kind of formal guidance how we could refer to the collaboration between the ORAN software community and the so-called partnerships?
Right, project? And yes, and so that's part of what that part of the menu will start to drive. But in the near term, the where I would recommend that you start, start by reaching out to Li Jing as part of the integration, because he knows what, who he's interacting with for some of those pieces. If they're relevant, they have to come together through it at the integration stage, so he's a good contact to talk about what we're currently using and what we're, looking at in the future. He may not be able to answer your questions, but he certainly knows who to connect you to. For Acrino right now is primarily, it would be part of the INF project, but it's early. We have contacts from the Acrino project that we can list, and we'll get to those. That's part of what the partnership needs to expand on, is the point of contact for Acumos. It's primarily being used right now by the near real-time RIC dashboard. And it's part of what we see coming as part of the SMO and part of ONAP, from ONAP as well. So those are the primary, you should reach out to the TSCs in those projects. But like I said, right now, Li Jing probably can connect you to some of the people that are starting to bring those forward into the integration project, and we'll expand this with the point of contacts as we continue to evolve this list. All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. We'll consider that covered. Okay, discuss slides. Jinri, slides for the face-to-face.
We actually discussed, yeah, can you hear me?
Yes.
So we actually discussed these slides last time, and then I think it's very clear. But so one related topic here is that in that slide, there is kind of AP for the PTLs to prepare the relevant presentations for the face-to-face meeting. And so I would like to take this opportunity to ask PTLs any like progress on this, because the face-to-face meeting is only 4 or 3 days to go. Yeah, and this time, I think I think the top mission is to complete the alignment job with the working groups. So that would be very important. So.
Okay. Does any of the PTLs have anything to raise about the slide preparation? So silence means that you're...
Wait. Witwick, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. So I'm at least preparing one slide deck for discussing the near real-time RIC.
Yeah,
okay. So okay, so...
But that will go into the details of the RIC component, the near real-time RIC component. Okay. I think principally WG3 will be interested in that.
Perfect. Yes.
Okay,
so but I think we should also have a So we should also probably sit with in the WG3 meeting, and I think they have allocated a time slot for architecture review there also. So it might give us two opportunities to discuss it in more detail with the WG3 meeting. Yeah.
Okay. But how about the working group one OM task group? I think this is more related to our OM and non-real time rate project.
From the non-real-time RIC project point of view, I know that at the regular working group 2 meeting last week, I presented already presented on alignment with working group 2 at least. I can present that again for a wider audience at Costa Rica if needed. In terms of alignment with working group 1 or working group 6, to be honest, I'm quite confused about the overlapping scope between working group 2, working group 1, and working group 6 in terms of architecture when it comes to to the non-real-time RIC in particular. But I can...
So that is John Kinney, right? That's John Kinney speaking,
sorry,
right?
Sorry.
Okay, yeah. No, I'm sorry. Oh, yeah. I mean, I think from your project perspective, it would be more relevant to working group 2. Oh, that would be great to hear that you have already done this. Can you share the slides with the community?
Yes, of course I can do. Yeah. Well, yeah. It was mostly one slide, so there was a bit of talking involved.
So, what is the response from working group 2? I mean, if you recall the slides that I prepared last week, so at least from my standpoint of view, I really need to see a clear indication or clear marks on whether these items are like aligned and or this item is like pre-spec, or this item is like kind of like the status of this item is like TBD, something like that. I mean, to have a clear mark on the status of the items.
Yes, okay. I can provide that offline, but bearing in mind that at least from working group 2 point of view, everything is more or less pre-spec up until this week.
Okay. But I think we need that clear mark, because if we say, okay, this item is the pre-spec, then it means that later on we need to come back and revisit this, right?
Yeah. So. Of course, that I think for all of the projects and all of the working groups, that should be an ongoing topic anyway.
Yes.
But in addition to that, I'm also a little bit confused in terms of the overlap between projects and working groups. For instance, the, just picking one example, working group two defining the A1 interface, for example, as well as some parts of the non-real-time RIC function. When you define any interface, of course, you have to be aligned at both ends. It doesn't make sense.
That's right. Yeah. So that's why I think working group two and working group three always had a meeting together in face-to-face.
Right.
And probably our presentation, our material should be presented to both of them.
Right. Well, I have to cut it off here.
Yep.
So we've covered this topic. You know, we're going to the meetings next week.
Sorry, Jack. Probably one last note. And I kind of request the PTRs to broadcast their materials, the slide deck, like by the end of this week, and hopefully by Friday. And so that we can have the preview in advance, and that will be a better preparation for a face-to-face meeting. Okay.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, let's continue. All right, so next is the, standing items that we go through each week. We got to get through, there's some different things here. The first one is the release planning. We have a formal request. We look at the Amber release. There are, just being honest in the, to everybody, this was always pretty aggressive and, a pretty ambitious process, just trying to, one of the major goals is to actually get people to start to get familiar and contribute to part of the process. So code freeze is supposed to occur the end of this week, October 12th, and then we continue on to end-to-end testing. And basically what the software developers really traditionally enter is a maintenance cycle, addressing the defects that are identified. And then eventually to get a release out, you stop fixing items and you start documenting them. And then you go on and do in the B release, and we'll show this in the B release when we talk about finalizing it, we add a window that is a maintenance release for, Amber. So the developers can continue to contribute and do defect fixing more continuously through the process while everybody else plans on what the next, new features are that'll come in the B release. But because it took a while to get started at the front end, and we don't have a tremendous amount of software, especially that interconnects into a bigger system, this next window of 3 weeks, from October 14th to November 2nd, is they've asked for additional time to continue to work on the software rather than freezing the software for this release. And in discussing with a number of the different development teams, it seems to make sense to me, at least, that this one time we should allow that because there's not extensive end-to-end testing really to be done because we're so early in the process and people are still more or less building the modules. But so the request is to move the code freeze date from October 12th to November 2nd. We'll still do, continue to put together end-to-end testing processes and have something beef and still leave the formal release at November 30th, but we'll let people continue to contribute code for another window of time. So it's, like I said, this is a one-time activity based on the uniqueness of this first release. So I wanted to hear if anyone's thoughts on the process of extending changing this, the test sprint for to add a development sprint 5 and allow them to continue for another period of time up to including the 3 weeks if anyone has a preference that we shouldn't. But at this point, the most important thing is to get as much code and get the code as, you know, far along as we can to make it useful. So does anyone have any thoughts, comments, questions, or concerns if we do that? It would not be, if we had more extensive testing that we could do, this wouldn't be an option, but in this particular scenario, we don't have much end-to-end functionality yet.
Jeff, yeah, can you hear me now? Hello?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Hello? Oh yeah, sorry. So I'm actually on business trip and I need to go now for discussion. But very quick note on this. So personally, I tend to agree to delay this. So because I know there are many things ongoing. Like for example, from China Mobile side, we also have some source code to upload, and so we really hope that we can get we can extend this sprint cycle. Yes.
Okay. So before you go, would you make a motion to approve extending it? Then we'll continue the discussion and take a vote. But at least.
But extends to, I mean, extend to when? Do we have a...
Right, so the definitive date would be, if you look at week 42, that's the end of this test sprint. So it would move it from October 12th to November 2nd. That would be the code freeze.
November 2nd, okay, for the code freeze. Okay, I can make a motion.
Okay, thank you.
David here, I will second because I think it makes sense for the Ember specifically. Like everything is like coming together, and so we have a lot of small pieces, and yeah, it obviously needs more time. Yeah, it kind of expected.
Oh, so Barry, David, will you be Costa Rica?
Yeah, I will be there.
Okay, good. Yeah, sorry for interruption.
No problem. Anyone else have any questions or concerns to raise?
Jack, this is Lucian. I like to speak in supporting this, just like Eddie, you and David and Jinri, they said this release is kind of special. The projects, they didn't start on the same time, they didn't start at the same point, and we still have some projects, for example, the CU project, they are still trying to upload their seed code. So we definitely want to give the dev team more time to get their code more in shape. It will also help the testing effort, right? When their code quality improves, the testing progress tends to go more smoothly. Two is mostly this additional sprint added to the dev cycle is cut from the testing cycle, but like you mentioned, the testing for this release. We do not have a lot of inter-project joint integration yet. There's especially more in the higher layers, but for the lower layers, I think the code are, we do not have a coherent story, end-to-end story covering everything. So that means we have a lot less to test from that perspective. So I think we can afford having one fewer testing cycle. So yeah, bottom line, I'm supporting of this. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Jinri. I mean, Lujing. Anything else? Anyone else? Okay, then I'll call for a vote. All those in favor of approving the motion, say aye. This is Jack Murray saying aye.
David saying aye.
Roger saying aye. And sorry,
I'm saying aye.
William say aye.
Okay, all those against say nay. Okay, we've approved moving, you know, the code freeze date out, but just be aware this is not something that we will entertain lightly at any point in the future. This is, you know, normally this time is very important to the testing team, but you know, we have this first cycle, we're being more flexible. Okay, thank you, everybody. Let's go back to, I know we're running out of time, and you know, we have PTL requests that we need. Maddie, is there something?
Well, I'm looking for a place for a piece of code, but I would be happy to let Thoralf go first, since I think his topics will take a little longer.
Okay.
Okay. If I take the floor, can I take the ball, or you could click on the links as well. So, first topic is a longer one, two and three are smaller ones. The first one is, so for legal reasons, we want to define the scope of the near real-time RIG platform to clearly say what's in, what's out. This is related to IPR patent issues. The concrete suggestion, there's a link here if you click on that.
Yeah.
Long description of what the near real-time RIG platform is. And then maybe the key things to highlight here is, first of all, there's also a table of which repositories belong to it. Today I filled in also the committers. I think I will use that to maintain the list and what each component is supposed to do, or each repo. And then if you go up a bit before the table, maybe the one controversial thing here that I would like to point out, if you go down a bit. So the idea would be the description is we keep it and we update it if the scope changes, but we do the update in a controlled way. And obviously for adding and removing of repos, that will go to TOC. But then also if we change the description, that has to go to the RIC. Near real-time RIC project meeting. And I think the only thing that actually I would like to get feedback, especially from Jack, is the sentence 1, 2, 3, fifth paragraph. Again, for legal reasons, we want to make crystal clear what's part of real of the platform and what not. Also because we have this somewhat fuzziness between near real-time RIC platform and the XApps. So that's why we would like to add in the source code in every file that we actually already have the copyright and the license statement. After that, one more line which says this source code is part of the near real-time RIC platform project, as one liner there. So that I think, because much of the code is currently copyrighted by Nokia and AT&T, this goes, I think, as a question to Jack, for instance, if this would be okay. You don't have to give the answer now, but I would like that to be checked on your side.
Okay. Obviously, we can't make any statement here. It's got, you know, I would have to go through that and check. Does any of the talk members have any questions or concerns with anything here? Obviously, we're not making a full decision, but do you have any questions for?
Hi, this is David. My question would be, I think for RIC, as usual, alignment with Workgroup 3, if it is necessary or if it was like already run through Workgroup 3 via poll or, I haven't read it yet, so maybe that's not necessary, right? But that's like for the RIC usual, I would say my usual question.
At least it's checked with Alistair, who is participating in the standardization from Workgroup 3 perspective.
Okay.
I will send it. Good. I can send that to Paul immediately as well. I don't see a problem there because it is based on the Workgroup 3 material and all the discussion that we had so far.
Yeah, just for this one, I would keep them in the loop because if they somehow discover, there is this definition of a RIC for in open source and it's kind of a little bit different than what we are expecting, it could be a problem. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Good. Thank you.
Okay. Let me note that down. Okay, any other comments?
Anyone else have any questions?
John Keeney here, just a quick comment. Could I request that you specifically say that this is the near real-time RIC, because I imagine that the non-real-time RIC will have its own platform that will be covered by different descriptions and maybe copyrights.
Yep. What was the, wait a second, what was the specific sentence?
The title, at least, yeah.
Okay, I missed that. Okay. I will change that immediately.
Yep, thank you. Cheers.
Anyone else? Okay, we'll bring this, the talk members will review this and we'll bring it up for next week. Okay.
I will not be participating next week, but I hope you can reach a decision without me, if not the week after next week.
Okay. Very good. All right, so you also have an E2AP item?
Yeah, so you can now click on the link here and there's the E2AP documentation against which the near real-time RIC ONSC implementation was done. So if you click there on this, yep, so there's a document and then also the ASN1. This was requested now over multiple weeks and finally everything kind of fell into place and now it's available.
Okay.
Workgroup 3 has been informed about that as well. Then the third point is if anybody's interested about the RIC platform architecture, there's now a slide set available, the near real-time RIC platform, from a talk that I was giving at a conference in Antwerpen last 2 weeks ago. So if you want to look at that, you can click on that link.
Okay. And then there's the RICP item. That's the presentation you were just talking
about. That's the presentation I was talking to. Yeah.
Okay. Anything else, Thorv?
No.
Okay. Maddie, did you have...
I can leave this and do this by email, because a lot of the TOC members have already dropped out and Martin dropped out, and this is kind of related to OEM.
Does any of the other PTLs have anything to raise at this time? Okay. If there is something, so we will hold the meeting next Wednesday at our normal time, just because it's good to keep the routine. I understand that with the meetings in the face-to-face and ORAN, that it may be a quick meeting, but we will, hold the meeting, at least share, because not a lot, there's segments of the software group that aren't going to participate in the face-to-face. So I want to, it'll be an opportunity to discuss some of their items. All right.
There was one more. David had some, needed 10 minutes to discuss topics. I think David's tribal.
Okay. Go ahead, David.
Well, I think that was some Thora. He just finished it.
I think that was Thorov for him.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So he's got that.
Okay.
If I know that, so at least the PTLs have a little more time with the code freed push out, and this will give Yingying some time to set up the OCU. I think, is Yingying on? Didn't you have a request for some approval of a committer?
Yes, I have sent an email that I want to request at the Chunjing Yuan as the committer in the UP project.
Okay, we'll take that offline to the email list, and we'll all push to get people to approve that quickly, since we've lost some of the members. Okay. I've already talked about the partner and open source alignment earlier, so we've covered most of that. And we'll continue to refine that discussion. Planning for the next, Any other business before we close the meeting?
Jack, this is Lucian. I just doing a little advertisement. When we're facing into the integration testing call, I would like to review our plan for the release. So if for any of the remaining PTLs on this call, if you could attend, that would be great. Thanks.
Okay. You know, because the integration test plan meeting follows this. Lijing, I will pass making you the host at this point. And we'll close the TOC meeting.